Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Mraz. A happy Monday to you all. It's the best of the DA show from Monday, including instant reaction and analysis following the Rams and the Matt Stafford era beginning. Sound check, including a beauty of a buzzer beater in college football. We're stunned to a news and an official NFL Twitter handle freaking goes off on me. It's the DA show's best of the DA show on this Monday.
The Rams have been a playoff caliber team. In fact, the Rams have been a Super Bowl team under Sean McVay's watch. But in that Super Bowl loss to the New England Patriots, obviously they were remarkably offensively limited. Perhaps the single worst quarterback game in NFL Super Bowl history. I think it was the worst in more than half a century of the NFL Super Bowls, the worst quarterback game in Super Bowl history. Jared Goff was a puddle that day. Even mediocre quarterbacking, and the Rams would have beaten the Patriots. That was a 13-3 final score, you might remember. So last night was our first chance to see if Matthew Stafford was a significant upgrade. Now, Jared Goff had plenty of good preseason games and plenty of good regular season games. I'd have to check on the preseason, considering that McVay never really wanted to play any of his starters in the preseason. But certainly regular season games, Jared Goff had plenty of good ones. But could he be great? And I think the answer was a pretty definitive no. So last night was our first chance to see if Matthew Stafford could be great. And at least for one night, against a pretty good defense, the answer was yes. It is where we begin, your cold open.
A lot of stuff has to happen when you show that kind of pressure.
Play action. Wide open. Higbee, the tight end. Third down and one. They go no huddle here. And that pass is caught, and it's cut. Cooper Kupp spinning. Reach.
Getting to a new place and being able to come out, you know, week one, night one, and get a win and play the way we did. Feels good. A lot of work to be done, but it's definitely a good start.
Stafford gets the snap. He'll give it to Henderson. Plunging straight ahead into the end zone. Touchdown, L.A. A one-yard touchdown run for Darrell Henderson. And the Rams lead it 26-14.
To really activate all five eligibles, he did a nice job of being able to go where the ball, where the coverage dictated. And I think that's the most important thing. We can certainly build on this, but Matthew did a great job leading the way offensively. There was a lot of bright spots, but also a lot of things that we can look to improve on. And it's exactly what we'll do after this.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
You just heard Matt Stafford and Sean McVay post-game after the victory. Those play-by-play calls courtesy of Al Michaels on NBC and Ryan Radke on Westwood One. So final score, Rams 34, Bears 14. And I thought the true definition of how Matthew Stafford completes this team happened late third quarter. The Bears went on that long clock-eating drive, finished off by the touchdown of the RPO by Justin Fields. And that brought them within a score. It's a one-score game at that point in time, 20-14, with 3 minutes and change, 4 minutes and change left in the third. Okay. So the Rams now need to counterpunch. The Rams now need to answer. And it's that drive to me that you drill down on and say, this is where Matthew Stafford changes the Rams' reality. Because on that drive, leading 20-14, if you go three and out and punt away, who knows? Bears get the football back. They're down six. They've got some momentum. They just wore out your defense. Maybe they come back down the field, do it again, and take the lead. But in this case, Matthew Stafford didn't go three and out. He didn't throw a bunch of lame ducks. He didn't look skittish in the pocket like we've seen Jared Goff do. Stafford calmly and coolly goes right down the field and creates a couple of big chunk plays you just heard. He hits Higby for a 37-yarder. And then also, after a few short passes, hits that pass to Cooper Kupp. He dives into the end zone. They end up marking him at the one because his knee is down to the forearm, isn't extended over the goal line yet. But they then give it to Darrell Henderson from 1 yard out in the 1 yard plunge. But there's about three throws in that drive where Stafford looks so composed. He understands everybody on the field with him. And he just ends up going right down the field in quick strike fashion to answer with a touchdown. And game at that point is over. 20-14 becomes 27-14. Bears aren't going to catch up. Basically, now we're into the fourth quarter and the Rams have opened up a 2-touchdown lead. That right there, I thought, wow, here's where the Rams are different. Because Goff under center, I'm not sure that he hits all of those plays, and I'm positive it doesn't look as smooth as it did there. I'm positive that that Rams offense does not look as in control of the moment. You heard Sean McVay say something there, which is very important. He activated all of the offense. Matthew Stafford last night didn't care which target it was. He was able to use all of them. He went 20 of 26, so remarkably efficient, for 321, three touchdowns, no interceptions, and was only sacked once by a ferocious Bear defense. His quarterback rating, nearly flawless, a 156 last night. He hit Cooper Kupp for seven times. He hit Tyler Higbee for five times. He hit that Van Jefferson big play for 67 over the shoulder. There was the Robert Woods back of the end zone toe tap, which is more about Woods' footwork. But DeSean Jackson had a couple of passes received as well. He spread the football around. Stafford hit Kupp, Jefferson, Higbee, Woods, Jackson, and Henderson all last night. I thought it was just such a significant step forward for the Rams. Oh, this is what the offense should look like every week. Now, the Rams aren't going to go undefeated, but I said this when Stafford ended up with the Rams. I didn't care what the Rams gave up because Stafford was going to bring them MVP caliber quarterbacking. You know, in Detroit, sure, he had Calvin Johnson, and he also use Calvin Johnson to the point where Calvin Johnson had a Hall of Fame career. It's not like Matthew Stafford wasted him. But the Lions were always done in by questionable coaching, by a lack of completion in the offense, by a porous defense when it mattered most. And I think that Stafford, who was not perfect in his Detroit tenure, I think Stafford also probably suffered from trying to do too much, trying to be the hero, because he saw so many flaws around him that it was forcing him to have to play out of his skin at times. He won't have to do that now. Stable organization, stable front office, stable coaching staff. They know what they want to do. Stars on defense like Donald and Ramsey. Good weapons complete around him, wide receiver, tight end, running back. This is going to be a really fun year in Los Angeles. It begins last night. Stafford completes the Los Angeles Rams.
You complete me.
855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS.
smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no way you're around it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio each and every morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network, and listen to us on the Odyssey app. You can pause and fast-forward and rewind the DA show as you listen, so that's really cool. The free Odyssey app. Also, you can listen to us on the CBS Sports app. Our momentous Monday story today comes to us from Ames, Iowa. Because Nick Bassett has an incredible story. He was, and still is, an incredible Iowa State fan. But he was born with scoliosis and diagnosed with it, with a very difficult outcome from it. By the 10th grade, he was wheelchair bound. Now, it wasn't just scoliosis, other complications with it, but unfortunately, the lower part of his body was really mangled by the illness. And so he was in a wheelchair since the 10th grade. He's now 29 years old. He was having issues with his legs as of a couple of years ago and had infections all through it. The doctors told him that he would probably need both of his legs amputated. And obviously this made a very difficult decision for Nick to become a double amputee. Now, he was a season ticket holder to the Iowa State Cyclones, Jack Trice Stadium, him and his family. And once he became a double amputee, had to, unfortunately, no longer go to the games. This was more than 2 years ago. Now, last year, obviously, was a COVID season where fans were largely not in buildings, but he was trying to fight back between the 2019 and 2020 seasons to come back for 2021. The Des Moines Register did a piece on him, and it caught Matt Campbell's attention. And Matt Campbell actually ended up calling him and telling him, man, tough times don't last, tough people do. And it gave Bassett a real juice, a real energy to try to fight through the rehab to come back. And he said, you know what, I'm going to attack this rehab. I'm going to attack every day. Now, this piece was featured on ESPN College Game Day on Saturday, so perhaps you would have seen Nicholas Bassett. But he finally made it back this year for week one in Ames and said when he got to his seat, that bar that's in front of his seat, he hugged tight because it meant so much just to be back in the stadium. If you saw the piece on College Game Day, you could see what type of inspirational, bright energy he gives off and the type of belief that he had to come back. And I just love that story. Unfortunately, the Cyclones could not deliver a win for Nicholas Bassett on Saturday. Iowa once again got him. That's six straight in this rivalry. Kirk Ferentz to the Hawkeyes might be the best team in the Big Ten. That was a huge victory and done impressively as well. But even though Iowa State could not rise to the occasion, Nicholas Bassett did. I love that story. He just kept saying to himself, I will, I will, I will. Positive reinforcement in his mind to get back, and got back to the stadium for this season. He's back at his seats. His family's got the season tickets, and you gotta love it. Remember that. I will, instead of I won't or I can't. Really powerful stuff. I love that story. Nicholas Bassett's a winner, even if the Cyclones are not. That's absolutely true after Saturday. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Rob tweets, DA, the reason Stafford went off last night is because he doesn't have Tyler Decker on his offensive line taking absolutely ridiculous holding penalties, negating big plays. As a Lions fan, I'm incredibly happy for him. You know, I think that's the right way to play it. I really do. I think that's the right way to feel. Look, if you're a Lions fan, yesterday looked really ugly, really early, and even late. with the big deficit to the San Francisco 49ers. But the Lions clawed back and fought back to make it a one-possession game, incredibly so. So the early return, at least through 1 week, is that Dan Campbell might have at least changed the fight level, the compete level for the Lions. From a Matthew Stafford standpoint, like I said, I think he completes the Rams. I think the Rams, the only thing that's really been missing over the last couple of years was elite quarterback play. And Goff was good, but not great. Let's face it. He was good, not great. He had a couple of great nights the night of the Super Bowl season against the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football stands out. But those are few and far between. Stafford's going to have those nights. 321 last night, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a couple of big plays. But also, as I cited, the drive when they are leading by 20-14, late third quarter, Bears had just ripped off a long touchdown drive. You know, that's the answer, that's the counterpunch that a championship team has. And I thought Stafford at times last night made it look easy against a really good defense. A really good defense. So certainly bright future right now, rest of the season for the Rams with Stafford, assuming he can stay healthy and that offense stays healthy. But they've got a great chance at getting to a Super Bowl out of the NFC. I got a lot of thoughts on yesterday's NFL action. But boy, oh boy, did you see the video, Mraz? I'm not sure if you were on Twitter at all yesterday. But I tweeted out this video that started to circulate of a sewage pipe breaking at FedEx Field. At the Washington game, there's an overhang in the stadium, and there just starts to pour water down from the overhang. A pipe had burst and everybody scatters and people are yelling, oh my God, that's bathroom water. That's bathroom water. And they're using much more colorful language than this. But this was water coming from some bathroom around the stadium pouring down on the Washington fans. They had to scatter and they started saying, like, I've got bleep on me. I've got bleep all over me. Could you imagine going to a Washington game yesterday and having sewage poured on you?
Well, there's a couple things I love about that. Washington has had so much trouble getting fans back in the building last couple of years. Now fans are excited because they made the playoffs last year. They pile in and have, you know, poo-poo water dump all over them.
Yep.
Also, there were literally no fans in the building last year. This is your first home game. I know you had a preseason game. Can we make sure the plumbing works? Yeah. How much were people going to the bathroom early yesterday that caused that kind of pipe friction?
Also, FedEx Field isn't that old. I mean, it's only, what, I think it's 25 years old, maybe. I think it was built in, like, 99 or something like that. I mean, this isn't Oakland. It's not the old San Diego Stadium. This isn't some, it's not the old Vet. It's only a 20-year-old stadium. And there's enough cracks in the foundation and pipes bursting to where poo-poo water is splashing down on everybody in week number one.
And what is the proper give back, right? If you were sitting in that section and you got poo-poo water on you,
yeah.
A simple, hey, we'll refund your ticket is not good enough for me.
No.
There has to, I don't know if I'm getting season tickets out of it, but as far as I'm concerned, I went to your stadium and had poo-poo water fall on me. You're not refunding my $45. I need something more than that.
Oh boy, FedEx Field has tweeted. Cap just found the tweet of FedEx Field answering. It says, quick update. Number one, it was rainwater. Number two, it has stopped. Number three, the fans are in suites enjoying the game.
Oh.
Okay, so here's the first problem. Home opener, kickoff opener, after they make the playoffs last year against an exciting team, the Chargers, and there's enough empty suites where you can just put an entire section into the empty suite. Oh, just shove them in that suite. Nobody's in there. They didn't even sell out the suites yesterday for the home opener.
Yeah, and it looks like the people they put in suites somehow have all new jerseys on. I wonder why, because it wasn't rainwater. They had poo-poo water. They had to put new jerseys
poopy
on.
Poopy doopy doopy. Doopy poopy. Do we believe that it was rainwater?
No, no. They have to take a dive there. They call it brown water. They got to call it rainwater.
Come on. Rainwater?
They need fans in the seats going forward. They can't call that rainwater.
It wasn't raining yesterday. Poopy.
Right. And if it was from rain, how far has this thing been backed up that you couldn't check all these pipes?
Yeah, right. This is rainwater that collected from, like, the floods of a week ago?
It's ridiculous.
It's still in the stadium? They hadn't drained that yet? How could that be rainwater? What? I watched the game. No, there was no rain in Washington yesterday. It wasn't raining.
So gross.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and is there more perfect symbolism than poo-poo water dumping all over Washington football fans? That's what's happened ever since Dan Snyder took over the team.
Diarrhea poop.
It's just been one large splash of poo-poo water all over the fans, the fan base, the city. And so now literally it happened. Literally the poo water came splashing down on their heads yesterday.
And now they have more poo-poo water and the Giants offense coming there Thursday night. Enjoy that.
Oh, that's Thursday night?
That's the Thursday night game. Daniel Jones versus the poo-poo water Washington team.
At poo-poo FedEx Field?
At poo-poo FedEx Field, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, oh, boy. Oh, wow. So we've got that to look forward to if Daniel Jones versus Tyler Heineken Light, because Fitzpatrick is out. If that's not enough to make you watch Thursday night, perhaps a burst sewage pipe is.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
The DA Show every single day can be heard on your smart speaker. So tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. And have us on around the house as you get ready for your day. Get the kids ready for school. Have us on where you are in the morning. Just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio by Odyssey. We begin with Andy Dalton on soundcheck because last night Justin Fields did end up getting a couple of snaps. He had two throws in the game last night. Also took that one run, the RPO, for the touchdown from 3 yards out. Here's Andy Dalton on the split snaps.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to do and find ways to put the ball in the end zone. And so, it's just kind of part of how we're going to play.
Daddy's always happy. Look, if Andy Dalton doesn't like this because they're using Justin Fields, then play better. I'm sorry, but Dalton, again last night, just didn't look the part of a franchise QB for a contender. He just didn't look the part again. Now, the Rams are good. It's the opener. First year, first game with his new team. Dalton, quote, QB1. Maybe there's some time to grow into this mold. And Donald and Ramsey and the Rams are really good defensively. So, all right. But was there a point in last night's game where you're like, oh, you know what? The Bears are going to be fine with Andy Dalton. You know, it's okay that they started Dalton in week number one. Really, I don't mind that part of it. If they feel like Justin Fields isn't ready to handle the entire playbook, isn't ready to handle the entire offense, isn't ready to take every snap, maybe behind that offensive line, doesn't want him to get squashed, okay. I'm not one of these bloviators that just yells and screams and stamps his feet because the rookie's not playing. Gotta play the rookie. I hear that so much. I absolutely believe that protecting a young quarterback can pay massive dividends. But you can't look at Andy Dalton last night and be like, well, it's his job. You know, it's almost like we've got to play somebody besides Justin Fields, and that's fine. But Dalton last night looked like so many other Andy Dalton nights before. And no offense to Bears fans, because Bears fans are wonderful. I love the city of Chicago. Bears fans deserve better than this. But America is so sick and tired of the Bears on national TV because it's always that last night. It's always that. It's just always an uninspired, lethargic, weak effort on national TV. It's always that. Like, last night was playbook blueprint Bears on national TV. where it's ever really that close a game. The offense is always stagnant. And we just see, like, the Bears go off and lose by two or three scores. I'm sure Bears fans are sick of seeing their own team on national TV. Get them at least in the 1 o'clock Eastern kick, the noon Central kick, so that they can get their loss over with early. Here's Kirk Cousins after the Vikings lose in overtime to the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know, tough to lose. Tough to lose in overtime. Tough to lose a close one. You know, this league will always be like that. You know, most of these games are going to come down to play here, play there. And we battled, you know, did some positive things, but there will be plenty to go back and improve upon.
Purple drapes.
Everywhere I look, purple drapes.
All my life I've wanted purple drapes.
All my life. Good luck, Vikings fans. Oh, my God, the NFC North. Oh, geez, the Bears look like poo. Oof, the Vikings lose to the Bengals. The Lions, at one point, were trailing by like 50 points. And then the Packers get absolutely roundhoused. That's a tough day, the NFC North. Who wants some? Who wants some? I liked Joe Burrow last night, or yesterday afternoon, rather. Burrow had a couple of passes late. They're like, there you go. Calm, under pressure, boom, fourth down, extend the drive, salt this thing away, set you up for the game-winning field goal. You know, Burrow, I know, didn't look great in the preseason. I know there was a lot of concerns about him and Ja'Marr Chase. Well, Ja'Marr Chase had 5 catches for a 101 and a touchdown, including a 50-yarder. So he looked fine. And Burrow, I thought, by and large, looked fine. And the Vikings, what can you say? You know, the numbers for Cousins look better than the actual outcome. And I just feel like that's kind of par for the course of the Vikings and for Kirk Cousins. And finally, on Saturday night, you may have missed this, but on Saturday night, Jacksonville State was at FSU. This is not Deion Sanders' Jackson State. This is Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State trails by 3 on their own 41-yard line, the final play of the game. Okay, so they can't kick a field goal to tie it. They've got to throw a Hail Mary. They're on their own 41. They decide not to throw a Hail Mary because the receiver is open on the right side of the field, about 25 yards downfield. But of course, if you're FSU and Jacksonville State completes a 20-yard pass and they are 59 yards from the end zone, you just roll over your safeties. You're in a total prevent defense. You tackle that guy on the field or push him out of bounds and the game is over, right? Wait till you...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear what happened. Here it is.
Snap to Cooper. Looking down the field. He's got a man. Caught it. He's free. Phil Y'all Johnson at the 10. At the 5. Touchdown. Touchdown. There are no flags. Touchdown pass on the final snap of the game. Jacksonville State has won it.
Mike Paris on the Jacksonville State U Sports Network. Oh, Mike Norvell. Oh, the Seminoles. Remember, week 1, the Seminoles played really well against Notre Dame. They took the Irish all the way to overtime on national TV on that Sunday night. Mackenzie Milton was just phenomenal in the comeback. And then here's FSU giving it all away on a broken play touchdown to win the game on the final play of the game. The corner gets turned around. The play is complete. The pass is complete. The safety comes over and overruns it. And then the wide receiver just cuts back into the field and outruns everybody to the end zone. Hey, FSU, where's the 7 guys stationed at the goal line? Anything in front of you and the game is over. Anything. Anything in front of you. And it's 59 yards to defend So it's unlikely the QB is going to be able to hoist it all the way to the end zone. Are you kidding me? That's how you lose? Are you kidding me? Absolutely heartbreaking for FSU, but you deserve everything you get if that's your defense on the final play of the game. Congratulations, JSU! And that is your sound check.
Touchdown!
Ah! Jacksonville State, the Gamecocks, getting it done. That's, by the way, not in Florida. That's in Alabama. Alabama's Jacksonville State. Okay, so Bogues, I have our hit list of where we're going to be over the next week in Boise. Okay, you ready for this?
I am. Lay it on me.
Okay, so tomorrow, I'm flying out today after the show into Boise tonight. Tomorrow morning, I'm from the KTIK studios, and so that's not for public consumption. I'll just be from the studios. On Wednesday, we're driving into the middle of the wilderness up to McCall, Idaho, and doing it from there because I'm going on a massive fishing trip the day before you get there. So I'm super excited, but again, you can't show up to that show, unfortunately. Okay, this starts our public tour on Thursday. Miraz, are you listening to take down these notes?
Oh, all the notes are here, DA. Pen and paper.
Got it. So Thursday morning, Bogues is with me. We are live from Dutch Bros on North Milwaukee Street. Okay, Miraz? So Dutch Bros, it's a coffee and breakfast place. We're going to be live from Thursday morning.
Oh, more food. Great.
In the afternoon, Bogues, we're with Prater and the Ball Game on the afternoon show, Idaho Sports Talk, live from the Stagecoach. And we're there from 3 until 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Now, Miraz, remember when we went to the Stagecoach and the meal that we had there? We sat in that booth in the back. Remember how great that was, the shrimp cocktail?
Yeah, I had delicious prime rib there as well. That is very good food at the Stagecoach.
And that afternoon, Bogues is at Edge Brewing, 4 until 5 local time, and then Neighbor Hub at Columbia Bank at 5 to 6. So he's got back-to-back craft beer tastings on Thursday, Miraz. Would you like to be there for that?
I would love to be there. A back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, Bogues leading a contingent of everybody trying craft beer? That sounds like a good time, DA.
Bogues, you're going to be at Edge Brewing and then Neighbor Hub on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, starting off with a bang, huh? My first day there, back-to-back power hours with our friends in Boise.
Yeah, that's right.
So you better still be at the Stagecoach after that so I can circle back hammered and have some of this prime rib to settle down all that beer.
Oh, yeah. Then Friday morning, hey, Miraz, you'd like this place. We are broadcasting live the morning show from Bacon.
Oh.
It's just called Bacon.
Need to say no more than that name.
Just Bacon. Afternoon show will be live from Big Al's Patio in the Village with Prater in the Ballgame. They're broadcasting live. We'll join them. And then I'm going to do the preview show from Big Al's Patio in the Village on Friday evening, 6 until 7 local time, where we'll have on players and coaches and kind of do a pep rally, Miraz. So that should be a lot of fun on Friday night.
That sounds like the best night to get ready for college football on Saturday.
So, Bogues, day one, had two craft beer tasting hits. He's got two more on Friday night. He is live.
Oh, that's news to me. I thought there was only one on Friday.
He's live at Twisted District on Friday, and then he follows that up with Crescent Brewery. So, Bogues, you're going to have four different local breweries that you'll be at for craft beer tasting.
It's like you're trying to kill me. I'm going to have to go fancy, like, wine tasting and just do like swish it around a little bit and then put it in the spittoon. Now I can't actually swallow any of this. I'll be hammered.
No, yeah, you're going to be hammered, which is going to be great. We're going to get two loosey-goosey Bogues nights, which I'm super thrilled about on Friday going into the game. Then on Saturday, 11-1 locally, we will be at Twisted District again for college football viewing. And so Bogues, hair of the dog there, you're going to wake up early. And at 11 a.m., we're going to watch 2 hours of college football.
I might just sleep there, let's be honest.
And then that night, after college football viewing, we're going to go tailgate and go to the Boise State game, finally.
I think we might have oversold my craft beer abilities here. I don't want to disappoint four different places thinking I'm some kind of like beer sommelier walking in with all these this deep palate and experience tasting. Just give me a Bud Light Lime. Let's go.
Let me tell you. The people in Boise are amazing. They don't need anything fancy. They don't need you to tell them about the notes of hops or the nose of stouts or anything. They're just looking for a good tasting beer. They're looking for a TV screen, a big beer, and just a good time. So you're going to be fine with them.
Do they have seltzers there? Do we know if they have any hard seltzers, in the Boise
tap,
area?
I'm not sure. Not sure. So, Mraz, does this sound good?
All kidding aside, this sounds like an amazing trip. So many good stops, so many good food locations, beer locations. It really sounds like a week in paradise, so I hope you guys enjoy it ever so. I really do. I wish you guys nothing but the best.
You're being professional here, Diplomatic. I thought you were going to be melting down on us.
I don't know that I have it in me. I need to save my melting down for a week as I keep hearing how great the things are as they unfold. If I melt down before you've even gotten on an airplane, how much energy am I going to have left on Friday by the time I get sick of my jealousy?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, there's also the unofficial agenda, too, where places, when we're not at some place giving us food or drink, other places want to supply us with the remaining meals of the day. It's like we have a menu to fill out to submit before we get there to fill in all the blanks.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm just looking at the menu of this place, Bacon, as well. I mean, do they just love breakfast in Boise? Does every place just have awesome breakfast? They have a Chipotle Hollandaise, D.A., a Chipotle Hollandaise.
My. Oh, that sounds like my type of breakfast. Oh, doctor. So I'm going to be live in Boise starting tomorrow morning right through next Monday. So a week in Boise. I'm sure by the time I come back home, my wife will have somebody else living in the house. Sure.
The cat.
Oh, hi. Who are you? I'm your husband, or at least I was. Oh. Right. You're back already? It's been a week! It's been a week! Oh, yeah, you're back. Okay, got it. We are live in Boise starting tomorrow morning. Yes, the permission granted tour rolls through Boise for a second time in 3 years. I'll be doing the show starting tomorrow from the KTIK studios. We begin with our public shows to come down and watch the show and hang out. On Thursday morning, we are live from Dutch Bros. And then in the afternoon, we're live with the afternoon show Prater and the Ball Game from the Stagecoach. And Bogish is from Edge Brewing and Neighbor Hub with some craft beer tasting that day in the afternoon. On Friday morning, I'm doing the show live from Bacon. With the Bacon. And then the afternoon show with Prater and the Ball Game, we are live with them at Big Al's Patio in the Village. And then I am hosting a special one-hour show, preview show, for Boise State and Oklahoma State, also from Big Al's. And Bogish is at Twisted District and the Crescent Brewery. So make sure you get to those places. Make sure you find some time to come see us. Saturday, I'm at the College Football Viewing Party at the Twisted District earlier in the day, and then we'll head down to the game at night. And so that should be an amazing series of events. And they're taking me on a huge fishing trip as well on Tuesday and Wednesday. And so we'll be doing the show from McCall, which is up there in the woods, on Wednesday morning, and then doing fishing after that. So I am super stoked. If you want to follow along my entire trip, I'll be posting plenty of pictures to my Instagram account. So certainly follow along for all of the visuals, all these events, and the game and the fishing and the hiking and all of these things, all of the delicious food that we'll eat without Mraz, all of the beers where folks are going to be twisted and turned up and a little topsy-turvy from all these high alcohol beverages that he's going to be tasting with all of the listeners. So check it out at Damon Amendo on Instagram, at Damon Amendo. I am super stoked and I'm just really very thankful for KTIK and the listeners in Boise for making us part of your day, because if we weren't popular out there, if the listeners weren't into the DA show, if we didn't have a legion of loyal DA aliens in Boise, this stuff doesn't happen. But I love taking these trips, and I love meeting everybody, and I love being on remote. And so I'm really, really excited to see everybody back in Boise again, and that part of the country I just love. I just absolutely love. So I'm really lucky, and we feel really excited to come on out there. So make sure you come down and see us at one of the 19 events that we're going to be at. Now, the week's not great for Mraz, okay? Because, of course, he's waiting on number 2 to get popped out of Danielle. He has also been at war with his family. He has said some really nasty things about them over the last week or so because he's frustrated. He's lashing out at missing the Boise trip. She's on watch now. It can happen any day. The dam can burst any day. And the Giants just lost in just another boring, gruesome fashion. And he went out to the game yesterday, took his dad, fought traffic 3 hours back home, sat in a parking lot, both MetLife Stadium and the entire Jersey Turnpike, a parking lot up into the George Washington Bridge. I mean, just a nightmare of a day. And earlier in the week, Mraz had, which is just par for the course. I didn't even know he tweeted this because it's just like white noise to me. This was on Friday night. A friendly reminder that Vic Fangio, Teddy Bridgewater, and a beat-up Broncos pass rush aren't winning Sunday. Now, it's clearly a shot at the Broncos. In other words, look, Vic Fangio, Teddy Bridgewater, they ain't coming to Giant Stadium and winning. That's not happening. It's Vic Fangio. It's Teddy Bridgewater. Okay? So that's not happening. So it's clearly disrespect coming from Mraz. I'm sure he will dress it up in a different way, but it's clearly disrespectful. After the win, the Denver Broncos official Twitter account, retweets Mraz and says a friendly reminder that Vic Fangio, Teddy Bridgewater, and a beat-up pass rush just won. This currently has nearly 1,200 retweets and 8,000 likes. Mraz is right now getting bombarded on his social media by Broncos fans. So it's a tough start to this week. Mraz, how's that Broncos clapback tasting?
I didn't know they had such vocal fans. And DA, no doubt about it, it was a shot at the Broncos because it was. But it really, in reality, wasn't meant for the Broncos and their fans. I sensed a lot of negativity from Giants fans doing my Giants podcast. And I was just trying to start the year with a little positivity. Hey, guys, look at the team we're playing here. The Giants are going to win the game. That was my way of dressing it up on Twitter. And instead of getting Giant fans all pumped up, all it did was apparently tick off all these vocal Bronco fans. I have been so indifferent to the Broncos as an organization my whole life. I have no hate for them. I called it like I saw it. I think Vic Fangio stinks. I still think Teddy Bridgewater stinks. And Bradley Chubb wasn't going to play. I didn't think it was this outlandish, crazy take as I tried to get a little positive energy going the Giants' way, and it completely blew up on me because Daniel Jones sucks, the Giants suck, and now I have to eat it and deal with it. And you're going to see my Instagram. I'm going to have to shut down my Instagram, DA. Every picture of my daughter now, I'm getting Bronco fans. It's going to be how my L tastes. Big fat asshole. Because they put it on Instagram too, the Broncos. So now they're tagging me on Instagram. It's a night. I can't even look at my stupid heart things that go up on Instagram. It's another picture of my daughter with a Bronco fan basically mooning me. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, man. I know you're a diehard Giants fan. I would never question that. But you walk yourself into these fires all the time. You can pump up Giants fans, if this is really what you were trying to do, by saying, hey, Daniel Jones has all these weapons. Hey, the offensive line looks great through the preseason. Hey, you know, the defense was one of the best in the NFL last year. You can promote the Giants instead of tearing down the other team. And when you tear down the other team, you become fodder for them and their fans when you look like an idiot.
I completely agree, and that's why I have to own it and eat it. But you have to understand, it's easy to say now, but in hindsight, the end of last week, what was really bothering me, and I could sense it from negative Giant fans, was this idea that the Giants had no shot versus Denver. I know how funny that sounds now. Look at the final score. And my point when I kept looking at the game was, we're talking about, well, who were the Broncos? Vic Fangio, Teddy Bridgewater, Bradley Chubb's not even going to play, and we're giving the Giants no shot in this game. So that was the mindset where it was, hey, guys, enough of accepting that the Giants are always going to lose. No shot we're losing this game. I was trying to inflict that, and I understand that I could have just said we have this, this, and this, but it was more of a way of just reading the way Giant fans are being negative about it. And my point was, who is this opponent exactly? As it turns out, the opponent ended up being very good. We suck, so I have to eat it. I have to own it. But I promise you, I didn't tweet that. I tweeted that as a knock at the Broncos, yes. But I didn't tweet it expecting Bronco fans to even see it, let alone the Broncos official Twitter account. I had several Bronco players liking my tweet on Saturday. I knew this was coming Saturday. They were like backup offensive lineman. I click, I'm like, oh my, this guy plays on the team, and he was liking it. So my assumption is my tweet made it onto the Broncos bulletin boards. And this, by the way, is coming off Brady using my stupid up the gut tweet after he won the Super Bowl. Can teams, if teams need me as motivation, you need to dig deeper. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, this is now a theme where Brady's using you in his hype video. The Broncos play, so the Broncos players were reacting to your tweet
just
before,
like, yeah, on Saturday
before the game.
Saturday, I can tell you there were four Broncos players. None were big names, but they are currently on the 53-man roster that liked my original tweet. Like, I see you, like that, and I sensed that going to bed Saturday night. I said, oh, that's weird. They're getting a feel for my tweet. And then I get hit over the head with the official Twitter account, which said there was buzz in the Bronco building about what I had said. There was definitely buzz.
God.
And it killed me.
I mean, so do you feel embarrassed because you're getting pounded and you look so stupid in this? Or do you love it because you got exactly what you wanted, attention?
So you're going to hate this answer because it does not have accountability, but I love it. I absolutely love it because in the end, the only win that came out of the Giants yesterday was that the Broncos turned to me for fodder and gave me good publicity on Twitter. What? It's the first prediction I've had go wildly wrong? No. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to hide from it. I'm not going to delete a tweet. And in the end, I end up winning because you gave me attention, and you know I love attention. So, no, I'm not disappointed by it.
Are you winning if you have to shut down your Instagram account because so many Broncos fans are mooning pictures of Taylor?
I mean, I didn't literally shut it down. What I've just decided is I'm not going to check Instagram for a week. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to let this flood out, and this will pass. The Broncos will go on to their week two game. We'll move on with our lives.
All right, you've also sent us the link to a tweet by Schwartz. However, when I click on it, it says this page doesn't exist. Now, perhaps it's because he's blocked me. I'm not sure. But if you can click on that link and tell me if he deleted it, because he has had a history of deleting really bad tweets once the D-Aliens get a hold of him.
So he has now gone back and reworded that tweet that I sent, but it's still the same dumb premise. I could resend you that if you'd like, but it's just more look at me from Schwartz after the fact that I can't stomach anymore.
Okay, so what was this tweet about?
My wife and I, again, think about the context of his 7,000 followers caring about this. My wife and I are on the phone with my mom in Florida trying to walk her through downloading the Odyssey app so she could hear me host the At Yankees postgame show today on At WFAN 660. It's not going well. She says, all I see are dots and lines, and I see Alice in Wonderland, and then OMFG, and that was basically it. So that was Schwartz's long-winded way of saying, hey guys, the Yankees play an afternoon game today, and I'm hosting the postgame show, so I'm going to remind you by telling you a story you don't care about my mom.
So you think it's just that he can't just say, hey, listen to me on
right
at this time. It's having to act like he's got a funny story, but also bringing attention to himself that he is hosting.
Absolutely, because he tags the Yankees, he tags Odyssey, he tags the fan, he's looking for the retweet, and also, I hate to break it. And I talk about me looking for attention? Pete, you've been a broadcaster and done real professional games before. Your mom now cares today that you're doing a Yankees-Twins postgame show with the team sucking? Right? I mean, I think your mom's heard you do your job before. Why do we care now? Now she needs to find you because you're doing a Yankees-Twins postgame show on a Monday afternoon that nobody cares about? And get serious.
I mean, I guess she has missed the Long Island Lizards postgame podcasts.
You know she picked up the phone, too, was like, all right, yeah, let me fake my way into needing this app now because Pete wants me to look.
Well, that's the thing. She's purposefully tanking on getting the app because she doesn't want to hear him.
Right. That's exactly like, it.
I don't know, Peter. I just can't figure it out. I don't know. I'm going to give up, Peter. You have a good broadcast. Meantime, she's like, oh, God, I got out of that one.
She's got to be rolling her eyes when that phone rings every time. Oh. Do they need a check cut, or do I have to fake like I care about something? That's gotta be the feeling when he calls. It's ridiculous.
Peter, I just cannot figure this out. This app is just too difficult. What is it? It hits buy? I mean, download? Oh, I can't get it. She hangs up the phone with Peter. She's got like five flat screens in front of her. She watches all the game film from yesterday's NFL.
He's buying Bitcoin.
Also, why does his wife and him need to walk her through it? He's not good enough at walking through it. He needs both of them walking through it. I mean, come on.
I just don't know, guys. It's too hard for me. I'm an old lady. I just better get back to my Matlock reruns. click. She's just like surfing through her phone with all these awesome betting apps. She's like, okay, hammer the Ravens tonight. Phew. I don't have to listen to PETA again. All right, Andrew Bogus has our headline of this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
Well, we've got it all sponsored by Progressive Insurance, DA, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. You've laid this out more than once this morning. The Bears were within six of the Rams on Sunday Night Football, but LA scored the final 14 points of the game to win 34-14. Matthew Stafford debuted with 321 yards and three scores. Andy Dalton debuted with a pick, and Justin Fields debuted with two completions and one rushing touchdown. Sam Darnold debuted as a Panther QB with a win against the Jets.
You know, I'm not going to lie, you know, seeing them on the other side, that was a little different for me. But other than that, you know, once you throw that away and you kind of look at the scheme and, you know, our offense versus their defense, you know, you kind of forget about
Darnold it. Darnold threw for one score and ran for another against his old team. The final was 19-14. He did say post-game, this win might eventually feel better than normal because it came against his old team. Zach Wilson, by the way, finished strong but was sacked six times in his debut for the Jets. Patrick Mahomes accounting for four scores as the Chiefs rallied past the Browns 33-29. The Saints smoked the Packers in Jacksonville 38-3 with Jameis Winston throwing five TDs, four from Russell Wilson, as Seattle won in Indy 28-16. The Niners snuck out of Detroit 41-33. And the Steelers, a come-from-behind 23-16 win in Buffalo. T.J. Watt, two sacks and a forced fumble after that mega extension. Washington QB Ryan Fitzpatrick reportedly out multiple weeks with a right hip injury suffered in yesterday's 2016 home loss to the Chargers. And the Raiders host the Ravens in the season debut of Monday Night Football. Francisco Lindor went deep for a third time, bottom eight, to get his Mets past the Yankees last night 7-6. Five RBI total from Lindor as the Mets got within three games of the second wild card. The Yanks dropping out of a wild card spot, now a game behind the Red Sox and Blue Jays. Novak Djokovic tripped the finish line, losing the U.S. Open final in straight sets to Daniil Medvedev and missing out on the calendar year Grand Slam.
I was just below par, you know, with my game. I just, my legs were not there. I was trying. I did my best, but yeah, I made a lot of unforced errors. I didn't have no serve.
And Medvedev had everything working. This is his first major. Rod Laver in 1969 remains the last man to win all four majors in the same year. Steffi Graf did it in 1988. Oregon now number four in the AP College Football Poll after winning at Ohio State over the weekend. The Buckeyes go from third to ninth. The list begins again with Alabama and Georgia. And now, a new week of Stunned begins.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Taco Bell wants to help the environment and wants your help to help the environment. Now, this all began as a small test program. It went well, so now it is going nationwide. Taco Bell is asking customers to not throw out their used sauce packets. 8 billion pounds of them make it into landfills each year.
Really?
What's up, human filth? Instead of throwing out the packets, Taco Bell wants you to create an account with TerraCycle, a company that helps big businesses get greener. Huh. You will ship your used packets in a box to TerraCycle, and they will dispose of them. Taco Bell hopes to have all of its packaging, quote, recyclable, compostable, or reusable by 2025. So this is a short-term fix, and the company has already done away with its Mexican pizza. That's off the menu because it made too much cardboard garbage. Yeah, so they're trying to do their best here. But this is an odd ask to make you keep sauce packets, used ones with the sauce on the outside, a mess, put them in a box, put them in the mail, and get them to TerraCycle, who will recycle them for you.
Wow, this is a really interesting stunt. Now, I appreciate the effort by Taco Bell. I appreciate companies that do try to go green. Look, I love being outdoors. I love fishing. I love hiking. I love being outside. So I love the people that do want to take care of the earth. And so I think it's a really noble effort. But I mean, honestly, who is going to be using fire sauce and then be like, oh, wait, honey, let's put this away into this box for now because at the end of the month, we have to send these all back to Taco Bell. I mean, nobody's going to do that, right? Yeah. I mean, Merez, there's just no chance anybody does this.
And look, this is not meant, because I know me. I know I enjoy Taco Bell. If you're making the effort to get Taco Bell or any fast food spot, right, there's an inherent part of rushness or laziness because you don't have the time to cook whatever meal or you're in the mood for it. So now if you don't have the time to do that, you're asking people to stop, pull out some kind of big envelope and stick all their sauce packets in there to mail back. Wait, you're not creating any more work for me if I'm getting Taco Bell. I'm getting Taco Bell because I want less work to do involving food, not more. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the way to do this is to make the Taco Bell packets recyclable. If you do that and you throw them in the recycling bin with everything else, your cans, your jars, etc., okay, that's an easy fix. Right. But could you imagine going and getting a couple of gorditas and using like five sauce packets and be like, okay, now, honey, I want you to set these aside, wash them out a little bit, set these aside because, you know, we're going to send these five sauce packets back to Taco Bell? We're going to get to the post office? Or we're just going
to go to a mailbox?
Put them in an envelope? Never going to happen.
No.
The fact that they got rid of the Mexican pizza because it created too much cardboard is just stifling to me.
Did you like the Mexican pizza, Pete?
Oh, that's one of their key items on the menu. I mean, I don't know why they couldn't find another way to do it.
Right, just find different packaging instead of getting rid of the whole thing.
Just get rid of it. That's it. Throw it off the menu.
Yeah, very bizarre. I mean,
Pete ate it so much he didn't realize it was gone last November.
See?
By the way, sauce packets. So who knew that there's that many sauce packets polluting things? You know, you would imagine that it's a million other things that we use tons of packaging. Like if you buy a kid's toy, if you buy a stroller, if you buy a television, these huge items have a lot of plastic around them. Or we just throw out plastic all the time with all of the things that are made of plastic, which never biodegrade. Sauce packets is a problem? Suddenly, out of everything, sauce packets are the problem?
And
I did not see that coming.
I was just saying, of any fast food restaurant, maybe Taco Bell doesn't want to throw 100 sauce packets in the bag for 12 tacos, too. Maybe part of the reason is you're giving us too many packets while these other fast food places
are pulling back. That's absolutely right. Although I think a lot of places are pulling back because every time that I drop by anywhere now, they're like, how many sauce packets do you need, right? They're now specifying how many they're going to give you. They're not giving you willy-nilly anymore, are they?
No, but that's my point. No places are except Taco Bell. You still go to Taco Bell, and the guy is heavy-handed. I end up putting half of them in my fridge, and they sit there for 4 years, and I never use them.
Merez, what's the best sauce at Taco Bell?
I like the Diablo. It scares you with the name, but it's hot, but not hot enough that you can't enjoy your food. And for me, I think anything Taco Bell really needs to be spiced up. It flares up your taste buds a bit. The Diablo is just right. The mild, the hot, they're all fine. Diablo has that extra, zest that I'm looking for on a chalupa.
Was there a year of Taco Bell sauce, the Diablo sauce, has a specific year?
Well, actually, yeah. I would say around the year 2009, so I am at this time at SUNY Westbury, Taco Bell really made an influx and change. They really catered, ironically, to football weekend menus and everything, and they got away from your standard mild, medium, hot, and suddenly the fire really took aim. Then they needed to up it with a Diablo. Then I think there might have even been like a Verde sauce as well. Suddenly, it was like this collection of talent that had waved in, and it really marked the end of flip phones as well, if you remember, and we started going to the flat screen phones. It marked the end of simple sauce at Taco Bell and spicing it up as well. That all blends together, and I'm looking at around the year 2009, ironically the last Yankee World Championship, for when this turn really seemed to happen with Taco Bell.
The next year is when LeBron and D-Wade and Bosh teamed up in Miami, right. So perhaps a super team of sauces?
Right, so sauces maybe started that collection of talent, and then LeBron followed suit.
The best thing, my favorite part of these types of conversations is watching AB's face, because when Merez goes into deep dives, pinpointing specific years of the peak of certain condiments, Bogues, your face is just one in a million.
Yeah, again, the things that this man doesn't know about regular day life, he has a thesis on Taco Bell sauce and flip phones.
Buttermilk ranch.
No one
one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Who had the most embarrassing effort from week number one? 79% of you said the Packers. 79%. 10% said the Falcons. 7% the Bills. And 4% that weak effort by the Titans against the Cardinals. Many famous embarrassing performances include James Ward, who bragged about how much he could eat before a Wienership challenge, but gobbled down only 3 hot dogs during Wienership 2. In the first game of Rec League softball in 2012, Pete the Body blasted a base hit in his first at-bat, but celebrated too much and promptly got picked off of first. The team did not win a game. Then there was mediocre tight end Mraz, dropping 3 passes against Mr. Six and the small blocks in the much heralded game on Facebook Live in 2017. Is this true, Pete the Body? You blasted a base hit to which field?
It was actually opposite fields.
You went oppo?
I don't know how, but I did.
Then you got to first base and you were celebrating?
I wasn't paying attention and promptly got picked off.
Wow.
Didn't call timeout, nothing.
So you're on first base, like dancing around the base, cheering with the crowd going nuts?
But I guess just caught up in the moment, and I stepped off the bag, and they picked me off.
Oh. Mraz, those 3 drops in the nationally televised small blocks young guns game effectively ended your pass-catching tight end career. After that, they promptly moved you to a blocking tight end, and then after that, they moved you to the offensive line.
Yeah, the following week, I had 4 important catches, but it wasn't televised, and we lost. So it was like an Andy Chavez situation. And after that, that's all I got remembered for. And now I'm lucky to be a mediocre blocker at the center position. D.A., it really ended my career.
Hmm. Well, famous moments in D.A. Show Rec League sports history. David tweets, I get in the car excited to hear thoughts on the weekend's NFL. I'm welcomed in by Bogus saying, what's up, human filth, during Stunned to a News. The week only gets better from here. Mraz, have you pitched to the bosses or maybe at least discussed with your family a potential landfill show and your nickname being human filth on the air?
So I haven't, but based on all the comments I got from Bronco fans yesterday, I think It might be here to stay where I am just called human filth, and that's what I'm known as, whether it's a show or not. So I think it's definitely in play and maybe something we workshop for the year 2022.
So I would say the most embarrassing effort over the weekend was definitely the Green Bay Packers. I mean, nothing fell as short as they did in Jacksonville yesterday against the Saints. But I would say my second place would be the Titans, because Tennessee has designs on being a playoff team, and they're at home, and the Arizona Cardinals have to come to, not the East Coast, but have to come multiple time zones east and play in that 1 o'clock Eastern window. And the Titans, Tannehill terrible, Derrick Henry terrible, defense terrible. So they would be my second most embarrassing outcome. Mraz, who would be your second most? I'm guessing you're going to vote Packers 2 as number 1.
Well, yeah, the Packers cannot do that and only score 3 points. My second most embarrassing outcome, I'm probably, D.A., going to lean Buffalo Bills at home. I know you give the Steelers a lot of credit, but you can't have these Super Bowl aspirations and just look so inept at times versus the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. And I know that everybody's down on the Steelers, but still, if you are a team that's going to compete with the Chiefs, you're at home opening day, fans back in the building, and you basically just let the Steelers do what they wanted on you. That was terrible.
And the Steelers only needed field goals. They got field goals. They got 1 passing touchdown, 1 offensive touchdown, and then a block punt for a score. So, you know, there was a lot of points to be had there for the Bills, and they just could not move the football effectively. Quite Californian tweets, the Niners either went to sleep after being up 3 touchdowns, or the Lions, or maybe better than we thought, maybe a bit of both. Tip of the hat to the Lions and Goff looking better than I thought in that system. Maybe Detroit will make a run in that dog food league. I'm not here to in any way think that the Lions are better than we thought. I mean, they had some fight yesterday, some spunk, and that's a good thing. I definitely think the Niners just took their foot off the gas. Was there a part of you, Mraz, watching this yesterday that felt as though maybe the Lions got something with kneecap biter Dan Campbell?
No. I just think exactly what you said. The Niners took their foot off the gas. Jared Goff looks terrible. Absolutely terrible. DeAndre Swift could run the ball a little bit, but it's going to be a long year, and there's going to be a lot of random backdoor covers spread-wise for the Lions this year.
How'd you do on your picks?
I went 2-1, although I'm very fortunate. I got in on the Niners laying 7.5 before that line moved. Otherwise, I would have went 1-2. Connor Green is sitting at 0-2, has the Ravens tonight, so he could be looking at a big offer to start the week.
Oh, no. An 0-3 Connor Stark could put him in a big hole early.
Two games back already to start the year, very much in play beginning tonight.
I went 2-0 on the college football picks. My third pick was taking the over on wins for the Titans. Obviously, that took a hit yesterday, but you know, there's a long season. I had the over on 9 wins. There's 16 left for the Titans, but you know, on Saturday I felt as though if you're giving me 4.5 points with Iowa, I'm going to take them in a series where Iowa's dominated and won the last 5 years, and they end up winning going away by double digits. And so that one was kind of an easy cover, and I said to myself all of last week, and I said this on the air, if the Cyclones don't win now, then when? If it's not now, then when? Everything was set up. Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, home game, college game days there. Campbell's still there. You had to feel like the stars had finally aligned. You're number 9 of the country. And then just like every other year, Iowa State stubs its toe, makes bad mistakes. I mean, Purdy in the third quarter was a disaster. Hall fumbles that ball, which ends up getting taken back for a touchdown. The deflection, the interception in the third quarter, the floodgates open up. And Kirk Ferentz is some type of witch, because every time he plays Iowa State, those things happen to Iowa State, and they just can't get over the hump. So I feel for Cyclones fans. It was all set up. Ames was on fire last week and on Saturday. But look, Iowa got a big win. Iowa's got two really impressive wins. They beat Indiana in week number 1, and then they beat number 9 Iowa State week number 2. After what we saw the Ducks do to Ohio State, it's possible Iowa's the best team of the Big Ten. Wow. It's possible they're the best team of the Big Ten.
D.A., did you catch how good Ashton Kutcher was at breaking down college football on game day?
I did not.
He was the celebrity guest picker. He knew more than Corso and Herb Street. He's got the Nevada roster down pat. He was all over it.
Really? Of all the people? Now, Ashton Kutcher is a Iowa native. I think he's a Hawkeye fan.
He was. He picked the Hawkeyes, but they were amazed on set. I mean, he's giving you ins and outs of recruiting notes and everything else. He's into it.
I wonder if he got writers to write him up a research packet, then he just memorized it like his lines for that 70s show or something.
I mean, it could be, but you felt like you were really talking to somebody who had their finger on the pulse when watching me. I thought he was the best analyst there for the last segment on game day. He was unbelievable.
Because they oftentimes have celebrities that know nothing.
Yes.
And
yeah,
they're just reading off some type of, right, of shot sheet that's in front of them.
Kane Brown picked Miami to beat Alabama the week before. Clearly.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, that was a rough one. But Ashton Kutcher, he brought a little something to the table with Corso Saturday.
Hawaiian Tony Danza tweets, as you guys plan that trip to Boise, I hope there was some thought to drive there, because we all know that Boise's about 2 hours west of Cleveland, according to Mraz. Perhaps the gas prices made you decide to fly instead. # where did the water go? We thought about it, but I figured instead of a 33-hour drive, I'll do like a 6 or 7 hour flight today. I leave today Newark, and I got to stop over in Denver and then land tonight around 6 o'clock local time. So it's going to be a long day of travel for me, whereas watch out, tomorrow I could be a little punch drunk.
Yeah, how many Bears documentaries are we getting through on these flights today?
I've watched them all. There's nothing left to watch. So I got to find some other NFL films to watch.
It's very interesting. I only wish we knew the person sitting next to you on the flight to take a picture of what you watch on this flight.
I will document all parts of this trip as my trip to Boise begins today after the show on my Instagram. So you can go there, follow me there at Damon Amendo. All the hits everywhere that we're going to be. If you're in Boise, make sure you're following me, because I'll give you the full itinerary, when we're there, how long we're there, etc. At Damon Amendo on Instagram. It's time for your epic fail. For fans in Washington yesterday, a pipe burst above them at the game, and what came out of that pipe was no good. Here's your fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
There's an overhang in the stadium, and there just starts to pour water down from the overhang. A pipe had burst, and everybody scatters, and people are yelling, "Oh my God, that's bathroom water. That's bathroom water." And they're using much more colorful language than this. But this was water coming from some bathroom around the stadium pouring down on the Washington fans. They had to scatter, and they started saying, like, "I've got bleep on me."
Is that where our legal department is?
I think so.
Wow.
I've got bleep all over me. Could you imagine going to a Washington game yesterday and having sewage poured on you?
Well, there's a couple things I love about that. Washington has had so much trouble getting fans back in the building last couple of years. Now fans are excited because they made the playoffs last year. They pile in and have, you know, poo-poo water dump all over them.
Yep.
Also, there were literally no fans in the building last year. This is your first home game. I know you had a preseason game. Can we make sure the plumbing works?
And I got an oopsie.
How much were people going to the bathroom early yesterday that caused that kind of pipe friction?
Also, FedEx Field isn't that old. I mean, it's only, what, 30? I think it's 25 years old, maybe. I think it was built in, like, 99 or something like that. I mean, this isn't Oakland. It's not the old San Diego Stadium. This isn't some... It's not the old vet. Poopy doopy doopy, doopy poopy. It's only a 20-year-old stadium, and there's enough cracks in the foundation and pipes bursting to where poo-poo water is splashing down on everybody in week number one. I babied a pork butt.
And what is the proper give back, right? If you were sitting in that section and you got poo-poo water on you, a simple, "Hey, we'll refund your ticket" is not good enough for me.
No.
There has to, I don't know if I'm getting season tickets out of it.
And that dumper.
But as far as I'm concerned, I went to your stadium and had poo-poo water fall on me. You're not refunding my $45. I need something more than that.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, that was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Apparently, the Washington football team's insisting that it was just rainwater, even though it wasn't raining yesterday. And they put these folks in the luxury suites that weren't being used, which says a lot that on opening day, that they're still not being used, some luxury suites. They can shove them in those corners. So, Mraz, today, after getting pounded by the Denver Broncos official Twitter account and their Instagram account, have you learned your lesson? I've gotten some questions about this being asked on Twitter. If you've learned your lesson and now will not take unreasonable runs at the opponent, since the Giants are going to lose a lot of games this year.
You're quite the opposite. Broncos want to tweet me. I'm doubling down with Heineke tonight. No way the Giants lose this game Thursday. I'll tweet it out. Let's go.
Do you really believe it, or you just want the attention?
No, well, I mean, of course I want the attention, but actually I really do believe it. I've already sold myself. The Giants are going to beat Washington with no quarterback and beat the Falcons in 2 weeks. They'll be 2-1 waiting for the Saints. We'll see what happens.
Traffic on your way out of the stadium yesterday was nearly 3 hours home.
3 hours home. I could have gotten from MetLife Stadium to the Ravens Stadium in Baltimore quicker than I could to get across the George Washington Bridge into Long Island. And I'm serious when I say that. That was brutal. Brutal to get home. It ruined your whole day, too. I'm looking up at you know, Yankee Met highlights, some stuff from the VMAs last night. You realize how much you miss. It's like I forfeited a whole day in my life.
What did you end up eating yesterday?
Oh, I had this delicious chicken cutlet with garlic aioli and arugula sandwich in this sweet free mozzarella sticks, a little sushi. I had some pulled chicken sandwich and some meatballs and some tortellini at the tailgate. I started the day with 3 sausage burritos from McDonald's and a lot of high noons. Yeah, I had 3. They came in 2. Daniel only wanted 1. So I said, I'll load up now. I didn't know what I was going to eat at the tailgate. And it was a disaster. I probably had easily 6,000 calories. Now, I might have had more calories yesterday than Daniel Jones will have passing yards this year.
Well, sounds like you're well on your way to losing those 100 pounds. All right, that's going to do it for us this morning here on the show. I'm headed to Boise after this show is over. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. He's going to join me in Boise in 2 days. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good and be good to one another. Keep smiling, and I will see you from Idaho tomorrow morning. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.